Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend wherever you happen to be. A little bit more on my views on Thanksgiving in a second, but let me tell you where we are this weekend. Get out your maps. 43 degrees, 4 minutes north. 89 degrees, 24 minutes west. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that not a year goes by without me returning at least once to one of my favorite places on the planet. It's Madison, Wisconsin, one of America's best cities, a place I went to school, and a place that's probably voted every year as one of the top 10 most livable places in the United States. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, no problem. You can email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we will deal with it. In fact, we'll solve it right here on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @PeterSGreenberg, and on Facebook, facebook.com/PeterGreenberg. And of course, we'll get to those emails in a second, but as I said at the opening, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Let me guess where you are. Are you stuck in your car at a mall? That was visionary on your part. Are you stuck with relatives you don't want to be with? Hey, equally visionary. I say this every year, and I hate to tell you I told you so, but the best place to spend Thanksgiving weekend is to not make it a weekend, at least not a four-day weekend. Make it two-day weekends. And what you should have done, and some of you were lucky enough to listen to me and do it, you take the very first flight out on Thanksgiving morning. You get to where you need to go in time to carve the turkey and see all your demented relatives and have them push all your emotional buttons. And then you stay overnight, you suffer through that, and then on Friday morning, guess where you go? Back to the airport and fly home on a day that no one's flying, while everybody else is stuck in their car at the mall. Black Friday. Guess what happens? Three win-win situations. Win-win number one, you satisfied your obligatory dysfunctional family obligations. Win-win number two, you save money because you flew on Thanksgiving Day when there's hardly anybody flying, and you came back on the day after Thanksgiving when there's nobody flying. And then, win-win number three, the weekend returns to you, and you can stay at home on a day like today, listen to this show, and then watch as much bad football as you want. Not stuck in traffic, not having to mortgage your house to go on that holiday vacation, which was not a holiday at all. And there you have it. And if you're really smart, you didn't go at all. And you know when you're going to go? This coming week, which is the one of two dead weeks a year that happens, the week after Thanksgiving and the week after New Year's, when absolutely nobody travels anywhere. You can virtually own any destination you want. So just thought I'd mention that. It's something that you should think about, if not right this minute, and then, of course, you can feel badly about it, or think about it right this minute and plan for next year to do the contrarian way to Thanksgiving, which is either don't go at all or do it in 36 hours and protect yourself. Hey, lots of emails. Let's get to a couple. Here's one from Tom in Newton, Pennsylvania. I want to fly round trip from Philadelphia to Cancun in January. The best fare for nonstop flights on US Air is about $450. If I go through Baltimore, I can get a one-stop flight for about $300, but it goes through Philadelphia. How come? Welcome to nutsy world. Well, sometimes it could be a Nazi world too, of airline scheduling and fares. What you're either a victim or a beneficiary of what they call the hidden city. It's the way airlines price their fares based on what they think their market's going to be. Now, here's the thing. A lot of folks think that if they went through Baltimore or didn't get back on the plane, they could save that money. No, you're going to have to take the flight that goes through Philadelphia if you start in Baltimore. You can't wait for it in Philadelphia once it starts in Baltimore because you haven't completed the carriage contract that you agreed to when you bought that particular fare. So if you want to drive to Baltimore and save basically $150, if you can at least find a place to park your car or maybe just take the train, you got a deal. And there you go. So you cannot get on the BW flight in Philadelphia. Don't even try it. They will deny you boarding. Here's one from Liz in Woodmere, New York. It seems that plane tickets over the Christmas break are at an all-time high. Gee, what a news bulletin that must be for you. Sorry about that. My family of four is hoping to get to Denver direct. What you mean is get to Denver nonstop. That's the biggest problem. People always think the word direct means nonstop. It doesn't. You want to go nonstop from New York without spending what seems to be a small fortune. The lowest price appears to be over $550 and goes as high as $750. Is it too much to hope the prices will be coming down, or should I throw in the towel and buy before all the seats are gone? Yes, it is too much to hope the prices are going to come down over that period because it's called Christmas. You know, the Thanksgiving and Christmas are high volume travel times. I just said this about 6 minutes ago on the show. What you really want to do is go not over Christmas, but the week after New Year's, which is the dead week. And those fares will drop down to under $400 or even lower. Same thing for Thanksgiving. But so if you think the price is going to go down, Liz, you're wrong. Now, if you can book outside those Christmas blackout dates, you know, before December 17th and after January 4th, that's a pretty long time to spend in Denver, but that's the only other way you can save. So sorry for the bad news, but you know what? It's sort of like the movie It's a Wonderful Life. These questions happen every year, although The Wonderful Life has a much happier ending than your airfare situation. Anyway, that's the problem there. Once again, my rule of thumb is 45 days out is when you really want to start booking your flights, unless it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or 2 or 3 days before Christmas, because there will be no discounts when you get inside that period. And there won't be many discounts outside that period. So unless it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the Friday before Super Bowl, you get the picture. 45 days out is when you want to start looking. If you do it any further out than that, the airline computers really are not programmed. This is intentional. They are not programmed to give you a discount because the airlines want to look at their loads as well. And they won't really know that much other than historical patterns as to who flew last year on December 7th to sort of estimate what they want to price the tickets at. But when you get around, you know, 50, 49, 48 days out, that's when you start seeing some movement if those seats don't materialize in terms of their sales. Anytime out of that, you are not in a good shape. Now, the bottom line is there are exceptions to this. The exceptions to this would be between now and March in Europe because airlines have to fly those routes whether they are full or not, whether they want to fly them or not under bilateral agreements that are negotiated between governments. And so as a result, if you really want a great bargain and you're not going to Paris for a suntan, and by the way, who would? Now's the time to book discount tickets there. The only caveat or exception I would give you is London, because the taxes that the British government hits for anybody flying to or through Heathrow are outrageous. They're an additional anywhere between $100 and $180 per passenger per segment. So the smartest thing you could do is bypass London and go anywhere else in Europe, either Western Europe or Central Europe or Eastern Europe, or even, you know, go a little bit further east into Turkey, you'll be great. Remember, between now and March, that's when the discounts are. And if you can go the week after Thanksgiving or the week after New Year's, you'll be in great shape. When we come back, joined by an alumnus of the University of Wisconsin, our good friend David Tabakoff. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Madison, Wisconsin, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful time where you are. We're having a great time because we're coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin. And as I said at the opening of the show, and as I say every year when I come back here, it's one of my favorite places on the planet, America's most livable city, surrounded by four lakes. And if you were lucky enough to go to school here, you're also lucky enough to come back. And so much has changed and so much hasn't. And it makes a big difference. Joining me now, a University of Wisconsin alum who's also as proud to be a graduate as I am. I'm actually proud that they let me graduate, but that's another story.
And surprised.
He's the senior executive producer for The O'Reilly Factor, David Tabakov. Welcome back to Madison.
Thank you, Peter.
I mean, without sounding like I'm a shill for the Madison Convention and Visitors Bureau, this place really changed my life. I mean, Madison, Wisconsin was one of those places that we would call a flyover. Even today, most of my friends, and I basically guess that most of your friends, you have to drag them kicking and screaming to come here because they don't get it unless they've actually been here.
Well, it's interesting. I have a number of friends I've kept in touch with who went to school here. The few who have come up here since then just love it because it's just an amazing place. It's actually much more sophisticated than it was when we were here, and it's just a great town.
Well, let's talk about the change in sophistication. When we were here, the definition of sautéed was deep fried. The menu in town was you had pizza and garlic bread and brats and beer. Now, you can still get a lot of pizza and garlic bread and brats and beer here, but now Madison is a gastronomic capital.
Well, you had a very nice meal last night at a very fancy restaurant.
I did. It's called Gray's right up there on the Capitol Square. When I was here, literally, you had a couple of Italian places, a couple of old supper clubs, one of which, by the way, is still here and has probably, I don't drink, but that has probably the most legendary martini bar in the state of Wisconsin.
Smokies.
Smokies.
Excellent.
Been around for over 50 years. But other than those places, that's all the choices we had. And now, any kind of food you want, any kind of ethnic food, any kind of cutting edge, I mean, we're talking James Beard House kind of food is here.
Not only that, I mean, there's an area called Williamson Street, Willie, which has tremendous ethnic food. Asian, Mexican, Jamaican. I mean, there's just any choice you want, you can get it here.
And on the weekends, especially on Saturday mornings, there's a legendary thing that happens here. And in fact, you've heard of the whole farm-to-table movement. Okay. It's one of those sayings that can be bastardized after a while, just like sustainable.
Can you say that?
I just did. Oh. It's like sustainable or ecotourism. But in this case, it's not farm-to-table, it's farmer-to-table. It's probably the world's best farmer's market I've ever seen. And it's the Dane County Farmers Market, right? It surrounds the state capitol.
It's a tremendous market. Anytime you go there, it's just amazing. They have meats, bakery, vegetables. It really is
That were picked yesterday.
Picked yesterday. And cheese curds.
Oh,
lots
yeah. Well,
of cheese
yeah okay. Now that you've
now,
opened
can you travel with cheese curds
on the
airplane?
Hold on. Now that you've opened the door.
That's my question.
Hold on. Now that you've opened the door, you now need to explain to everybody what a cheese curd is.
Well, I don't really know. It's
you
just,
bought
it's,
some.
I buy it. It's like the beginnings of cheese. All in little balls, and they say it's squeaky.
Wait, hold on.
It's squeaky. That's all I know.
That's it. Yeah. But wait, but yeah, you, it's shrink wrapped. You bought it, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're bringing
well,
it back.
Shrink wrapped. I'm not sure. It's in a bag. Well, they say it'll keep. That's all I know.
Everything in Wisconsin keeps because it gets cold here.
Yeah, and they have great. I actually bought some bison sausage.
Some bison sausage.
Yeah, that'll keep too.
No, they carbon date that. What are you talking about?
That's great stuff, and it's a you know, it's a great farmer's market. You know, in New York, where I'm from now, if you walk around a farmer's market, there's no comparison in terms of how the food is displayed, the kind of food you have, the variety. It's really amazing.
What's the biggest? I mean, you come back here every year, I know, because you're an active alum, as I am. In fact, I should let everybody know in the interest of full disclosure, I'm actually teaching here now. I'm a professor. Can you believe that? It's a sign of
true desperation.
Yeah, the end of Western civilization as we know it, when they make me a professor at the University of Wisconsin.
Stunner.
I know, but I'm doing it. I'm back every 2 or 3 weeks and speaking. But when you come back, what's surprising to you now? Because, I mean, we do get a chance to come back all the time. But for everybody else, it's got to be a big surprise to see this place.
You know, it's just interesting to see. There's kids, there's great classes, great education experience. There's really some great stuff happening at this campus as well. Now, also, unbelievable construction. Since we were here many, many years ago, they've just redone this campus over and over again. Come down here, it's just totally changing.
I mean, and cutting-edge architecture, cutting-edge buildings, although they have left standing my original dormitory, and I'd like to make a statement if anybody's listening to the show, I will pay anybody to detonate that building. I mean, I can't. My dormitory, I went in the other day. Right, I can't believe I survived. I even existed in a room that had that square footage.
Well, I actually was in a dorm on Lakeshore.
Yeah,
I think the square footage was even smaller.
I had a roommate. I don't know how we did it. And
you're still friends with him?
No.
That does happen too.
It does happen too. Rats in a cage, baby. But the thing is, it was called Celery Hall, and it's still
named after the vegetable, I think.
No, S-E-L-L-E.
I'm just kidding.
Come on. But The nice thing about Madison is, among other things, it's surrounded by four lakes. Everybody has bicycles. Even in 20 below weather, people are on their bikes.
Well, actually, November days, people are walking around in shorts.
They do. Well, that explains, for those of my friends in New York who think I'm nuts, when I was on the Today Show, we did a lot of stuff outside in the plaza in January and February, and it was 18 degrees, 12 degrees, 8 degrees. I would come out just in shirt sleeves. And people would say to me, what are you, nuts? I said, no, I spent 5 years in Madison, Wisconsin. This is beach weather.
And actually, I think Madison was colder then.
Yeah, it really
was. I think
there
is global warming. It isn't quite the temperature it used to be.
Well, I will share this story with you, as embarrassing as it is. One day, I was late to class. Gee, what a shock. I had overslept. And it was 18 below zero, but the wind chill factor was like 30 below. And the wind was howling off the lake. And I jumped in the shower, shampooed, got dressed, put every layer of clothing I had on, and I go running out of the place I was renting after I was escaped from the dorm, and I'm running to class. And as I'm running to class, I hear crunch, 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 and it's coming from the top of my head. And I don't know what it is, so of course, what do? I put my hand up there, and I touch it. My hair fell off.
It's still off, Peter. No. Just kidding.
But the hair fell off. I mean, and I wore one of those little Vince Lombardi stocking hats for about 3 weeks because it was so embarrassing. That's how cold Madison gets.
It's an amazingly cold place, but a wonderful place.
It is. And certainly, you talk about all the construction. Another story I'll share with you. I actually, when I lived outside the dorm, when I finally moved out of there, I lived in a small house on West Washington Avenue. We had a slum landlord, as every student slum landlord is. And the place was falling apart then. I went by it today. Still falling apart now. But back then, now I'll date myself. This is 1969. We found an old, broken-down, decrepit couch. And we put it on the front porch. I drove by that house today. The couch is still there. And I actually took a picture of it. It's going to be on Facebook. I want people to realize, certain things. That couch is still there.
Well, you're a luckier man than I, because I had a really run-down place on Doty Street.
Yeah.
And I went back there a couple of years ago, and it was torn down.
Wow.
The couch was outside. No, but it but it was a shame, because I had a lot of memories there.
Now, the other cool thing about Madison, which we'll talk about when we come back from the break, is that if you look at the map, it is perfectly situated as a hub for a state that nobody really explores unless they live here. And that's America's Dairyland. Great antiquing, great shopping, great food, and just great day trips. Within an hour and a half of Madison, you can go out and make your own root beer, make your own cheese. You can actually go I saw my first cow when I came here. I'm a New York City boy. Why are you laughing? You saw your first cow here too.
In Queens. Oh, in Queens they had cows.
Yeah, they had a lot of cows in Queens. Yeah. I'm not talking about who you dated. You open the
in
door.
In this day and age, you can say that?
I said bastardization and cows.
It's unbelievable.
Now,
who's listening?
Nobody anymore. But the bottom line is, you get a car and you just drive, and it's just great. And by the way, that also includes Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee is only an hour and a half from here. Also on the lake, Lake Michigan, of course. Milwaukee has also changed. It used to go on I-94, and within an hour of Milwaukee, you'd be smelling the yeast from all the breweries. Very few breweries left in Milwaukee of that size. But in places like Madison, Milwaukee, dozens and dozens and dozens of craft breweries and great, great beer. And Milwaukee, once again, cutting edge cuisine where they never used to have it before. Before in Milwaukee, you had kielbasa because of the South Side, and now you have everything.
I still like the kielbasa.
You're
a simple guy.
So wait a minute. What'd you get? Bison jerky? What'd you buy?
Bison sausage.
Bison sausage and kielbasa. Have you had a bratwurst since you've been here?
Oh, yes. I did. I ran over to State Street Brats and had a red.
Ah, I see that. But now, what's the difference between a red and a white?
Well, the red is smoked and the white is not smoked.
Thank you. See, I knew there was a reason why you were on this show. And we have search and rescue teams trying to figure out the other reasons why you're on this show. But we're talking with David Tabakoff, the senior executive producer for The O'Reilly Factor, coming back to Madison, Wisconsin. And when we come back, more with David and a little bit of history about what this place was when we were here. Because, let's face it, when we were here, so was the National Guard. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Madison, Wisconsin, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
And we're back, 33 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with David Tabakoff, who's the senior executive producer for The O'Reilly Factor. Why is he here? Why am I here? Because we both went to school at the University of Wisconsin, which explains why we're coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin on this Thanksgiving weekend. Right before the break, we talked about a lot of our own personal history here, but the political history here, I mean, Wisconsin has always been a pivotal state in so many different presidential elections, in so many different parts of American history, especially back in the 1960s. It was ground zero for so much of the anti-war movement in this country, and that was headquartered right here in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's hard for me to explain to people today that, you know, you couldn't walk up State Street without seeing the National Guard.
It was a very crazy time. I mean, I came here from Queens. I was 17 years old, and the first semester I walked by accident smack dab into the Dow chemical demonstration at the Commerce Building, which is where they were having a recruiting session for Dow. And, you know, it was a very, I would say, scary, dangerous time, exciting time for a lot of people. It was a very complicated time, I would have to say. I mean, there were a lot of people who went very far left, and other people became very conservative because of this. So it was really a crazy time.
I mean, you mentioned the Dow Chemical riots. That was my first time in Madison. I was a freshman. And that day alone, I mean, that was my first experience with tear gas. That was my, of which there were many after that. After that experience, I ended up with a gas, I carried a gas mask. I mean, people have said, I had a gas mask in school because it was our daily wardrobe, if you will. Imagine the National Guard surrounding the state capitol with armored personnel carriers. They had bayonets. And there wasn't a day for a period of about a year and a half where at some point in this city, there wasn't a riot.
Well, it was hard to get a good education, frankly, at that time. I mean,
good traditional education.
There were strikes, there was trouble, there were National Guard. The university had, I think, a pretty admirable job in trying to navigate through that time. I mean, a lot of the leaders at the time were heavily criticized, but they did an incredible job trying to keep the university open and providing an education for people who wanted it.
And, of course, I was one of those Mark Twain supporters who, remember what Mark Twain said, never let school interfere with your education. Well, that was me because I was on the streets, I was at the barricades covering it for the student paper and also later on for Newsweek. For those people who've never seen this movie, you can Netflix it. It's called The War at Home. It was 1 year in the life of Madison, Wisconsin.
Our friend Glenn Silber.
Glenn Silber, who produced it. 1 year in the life of Madison, Wisconsin from 1969 through a horrendous bombing the next year where four kids, two of whom worked with me at the student newspaper, drove a van full of nitrogen fertilizer and fuel oil at 3:40 in the morning and blew up the Army Math Research Center. And sadly, a physics researcher working in a building next door was killed.
You know, that, I think, made everybody realize that you there's something called peaceful demonstration and something called violent demonstration. And, you know, the line, you cross that line, terrible things happen. And I think everybody was very shocked by what happened. And it really changed the dynamics of how people protested after that.
In fact, it changed the dynamics radically, to use a pun, for the simple reason that every single window that you could imagine within a 1.5 mile radius of that bombing was blown out. And it happened a week before school came back into session. And so when everybody returned to campus a week later, everywhere they went, they were walking by buildings that just had plywood on windows.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it was just a terrible event. For many people, a terrible event. And it really made people think very hard about what they were trying to accomplish and the means by which they were trying to accomplish it. It was tough.
And believe it or not, more than 42 years later, three of the four bombers were caught. They were arrested. They went to trial. They went to prison. They came out of prison. The fourth is the longest remaining anti-war fugitive in American history. He's been missing for 42 years. His name is Leo Burt, and I worked with him on the paper. And we did a piece about a year and a half ago for CBS Sunday Morning, which actually went back and revisited the bombing and wondered where he might be.
Well, the other guys, I would have to say, my own personal opinion, they didn't serve very much time for the crime that was committed, the loss of that life. But yeah, Leo Burt has never been found, and people still speculate about it.
But to give you an idea of how politicized Madison was, when I did the interview with the bomber, for CBS. His name is Carl Armstrong. We did it in a hotel here in Madison. We had a couple of crews from CBS there. And when he arrived for the interview, and he sat down, and we put a mic on him, and I sat across from him. At the actual time of the bombing, the physics researcher, Robert Fasnacht, who was killed, was working late at night to finish his dissertation so he could leave the next morning with his wife and one-year-old daughter on a camping trip. And obviously, he never made it. When Carl Armstrong walked in to do the interview with me, in the back of that room was a 40-year-old woman, and I didn't know who it was until the end of the interview when they hugged. It was Robert Fasnacht's daughter. They've actually reconciled, and she forgave him because, as she said to me, this is how political Madison is. She said, I realized that he never wanted to kill my father. He just wanted to end the war. Now, I mean, amazing, right? Because you don't expect that to happen.
Well, you know, people do odd things to reconcile what happened to them. So, I mean, I certainly understand on one level her
forgiveness.
But, you know, from a societal point of view, it's sort of hard to reconcile that.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, when you add it all up, it's part of a history here that most people on this campus right now don't even know. There's one little small little plaque on a small street saying this is where this happened. People walk by it every day, never even look at it.
Well, it's hard. I mean, this is now many, many, many years later. The campus has gone through a transformation in many ways. Politically, it may be on the more liberal side, but it's certainly not the campus it was. And there's a lot of different political traditions in the state and on the campus, so you know, people forget.
Back with more of David Tabakoff, Peter Greenberg here in Madison, Wisconsin, right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide, 43 minutes after the hour. We are coming from Madison, Wisconsin, one of my favorite places on the planet. On this Thanksgiving weekend, I hope you're not stuck in the mall, stuck in traffic, or stuck with relatives you don't want to be with. How about that? Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to some of those emails. Here's one from Katie in Chicago. We have recently purchased a second home across the country to spend our vacations and retirement. We currently will be traveling from Chicago to San Francisco for those trips. We have a border collie we adore and would love to take with us for the extended trips. Is there an airline that rates highest for safety in terms of dog transport in kennels? I have read and heard some terrible stories and want to minimize any risk to her health or life for that matter. Thank you so much for any feedback you can give us. Well, Katie, first of all, I'm assuming the collie is too big to fit under the seat in front of you, so it has to go in a kennel. And the only thing I would suggest to you is two things. One, you want to make sure you're on a nonstop flight. And two, remember that in the last couple of years, because so many animals have been injured or killed by airlines during high heat situations or low temperature situations, there are temperature moratoriums in place. There are certain temperatures above which an airline will not accept an animal for transport and or below which an animal will not be accepted for transport. And since you'll be flying from Chicago to SFO, well, need I say more, be careful of those temperature situations. The other thing I would do is get a kennel that's slightly bigger than the one that's recommended. And when you go to the airport, do what my sister always does, and anybody who has a dog has figured out how to do. You'll notice that in each kennel, there's a little cup for water. It's meaningless because kennels move, airplanes move, water spills out of the cup. Instead, either build in a larger cup for your animal, or with the cup they provide, bring cubes of ice. And right before you put the dog in the kennel, before it gets on the plane, that's when you put the ice in, because then as the ice melts, the dog can get hydrated and the water has less of a chance of spilling out. Here's one from Amanda in Denver, Colorado. I'll be traveling to Cancun December 3rd to 10th, coming right up, and we'll be staying at Playa Car Palace, which is part of the same group as the Hard Rock Cancun that you were at last month. We're coming from Colorado and flying Frontier, and my in-laws are meeting us there, and they are coming from JFK. I've made their travel arrangements, and American Airlines had the only affordable direct flight. Of course, now they are worried not only about the flight being canceled, but their seats coming loose. Oh boy, here we go again. I made their arrangement through Orbitz, and I'm hoping they will alert me if there are any problems, but now I'm getting nervous too. All right. Should I be worried? Amanda, no. The seat situation with American is a result of their outsourcing the maintenance without proper oversight. It's been fixed. It's been double fixed. And I know what the subtext is. People get so worried, they think, well, you know, if the seats are coming loose, what about the wings? Well, trust me, this is a one-time event. It happened across the fleet because the fleet came in for service at one particular location. It's been fixed. In fact, the fix is even better than the original seat installation itself. So I would not worry about that at all. Have a great time in Cancun and do not worry about the seats, okay? Just worry about the service. And be happy you're on the plane. How about that? With airlines consolidating and cutting back so much, just be happy you're on the plane. Here's one from Seth in Portland, Maryland. I just flew Delta to Rhode Island with layovers in Atlanta. Well, of course you had a layover in Atlanta. You flew Delta. Two planes each way, and the leather seats were so hurtful on the butt, and the sidearm was not comfortable with half metal and half plastic type leather. I had to pay an extra $19 for one seat. I'm laughing because I'll tell you why in a second. With a little more space and economy, which I did since I have osteoporosis. Okay, now we're not laughing. Delta has great customer service, but lousy seating, and this story shows it's only going to get worse. Not everyone can afford first class, which used to be economy. Well, Seth, here's the deal. Airlines that market premium seating should be ashamed of themselves and coach, because what they determine as premium seating isn't, in many cases. They determine premium seating as being any seat that's closer to the first class section, which in my book means you can smell the first class cookies, but you still can't have any. So here's the bottom line. A middle seat in the second or third row behind first class, in my book, is not a first class or a premium seat, and you shouldn't pay a premium for it. Just get a window or an aisle if you can. And bottom line is, all of those seats, I tell everybody this, but nobody listens. All those seats that you see on the website that are quote-unquote available and that are ugly middle seats do not represent all the available seats. The airlines hold them back. So it might pay for you to actually have a conversation with a human being as opposed to trying to do this online. You might just find yet a much better seat without paying that premium fare. We'll be back with more emails and your messages when Peter Greenberg returns from Madison, Wisconsin. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
And welcome back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Madison, Wisconsin. A great city and a great Thanksgiving weekend. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. Speaking of that, more emails to get to, so let's do that right now. Here's one from David in New York City. I love your travel advice, and I'm planning a trip to Florida. I found two great deals, but I don't know what to buy. The first one is on Frontier Airlines for $197 round trip, and the other is on AirTran for $238 round trip. However, Frontier Airlines only offers one daily nonstop, and the time does not fit my time frame. Is it worth it to buy the $197 round trip? Well, $197 to $238, we're talking $40. I mean, with all due respect, David, those are great fares. You're not going to find a lot of them. So whatever fits into your time slot, you buy it. Either AirTran or Frontier, wouldn't bother me either way. Those are reasonable fares for a change. So that $40 differential is not really going to bother me, and it really shouldn't bother you. Here's one from Linda in Beaumont, Texas. We've been trying to plan an April 20th to 27th vacation for 18 family members, four generations, ages 1 to 86, and we are having a hard time deciding which way to go. Well, anything done by that kind of committee, I can imagine. So no idea, she says, that we have our ideal. We would greatly appreciate your expertise and advice. Now, in case you want some more information, which, by the way, Linda, I do, she writes, some of us want beautiful scenery, a lake or riverfront home. Some want Disney World. Please. Others don't. Some want to be all in one big house. Others don't care. We consist of four couples, two single adults, eight children ages 1 to 9. Adults are in their 80s, 50s, and late 20s. Wow. Well, Linda, we know you want to go. The only thing you've really told me is April 20th to 27th. And you haven't really told me what you want to do when you get there, other than that some want beautiful scenery and some want Disney World. I can't give you adequate advice here without more information. And we have enough time. I mean, it's only November. So when you hear this, please write me back with a little bit more information and let me know about everybody's area or actually ability list, meaning what's their level of physical ability? What are they comfortable doing? Do you want to go rafting or do you want to just take a cruise? Do you want to go bike riding or do you want to take a bus tour? Or do you want to just sit in the house and cook yourselves or do you want to go out for dinner every night? Without knowing that information, I'm sorry, Linda, I can only send you in the wrong direction at that point. So please email me back with more information and I'll do my very, very best to help out. Here's one from Marty in Chico, California. I'm a poor college student, double majoring, musical theater and business management at the University of Chico. I am graduating this May and I'm traveling to New York over spring break in March of 2013 to make a preparation for post-graduation career living arrangements. Could you let me know if you have any tips for the least expensive way, days of the week, time of day, college discount, the famous college discount, and I'd like to maximize my time in New York. Well, this is a perfect opportunity for couch surfing. This is a perfect opportunity for Airbnb. That's AIRBNB.com. Because both offer alternatives to hotels and are reasonably priced. Marty, you don't seem to me like you actually have to have a hotel. You just want a place to stay so you can explore your options in New York. And if that's the case, both the couch surfing one and an Airbnb tend to work out well. Now, if you do want a hotel, here's another myth I need to explode. And I'm assuming you want to go to New York City, meaning Manhattan. Who says you have to have the hotel in Manhattan? You don't. The best idea, really, is to get a place in Brooklyn, a much hipper borough these days than it's ever been. And most of the hotels in Brooklyn are very close to mass transit, otherwise known as the New York City subway system. And literally, you know, under $3 away and under 9 minutes away, you're in Midtown Manhattan without spending $600 a night for a hotel room. So that would be my advice. The other thing is, you know, if you're going to book these things, there are actually youth hostels in New York as well. There are one or two of those. There are even, in terms of alternatives to hotels, monasteries that you can stay in New York. And no, you don't have to promise a vow of silence. You just have to be well-behaved and not too noisy. For more about that, go to our website, which is petergreenberg.com. We have archived all sorts of alternatives to hotels, including Airbnb and the couch surfing alternative. And it's amazing the people you meet along the way when you do that. Bottom line again, you don't have to stay in Manhattan and you don't have to stay in a hotel. But if you do want to stay in a hotel, my recommendation is, guess what? Brooklyn. Absolutely Brooklyn. Hey, when we come back after this break in our second hour, I'm going to be talking about something that most people think is the case and isn't. And that is, can you fly these days without government-issued ID? What happens if you get to the airport, right? What happens if you get to the airport and you forgot your driver's license? I'm not talking about a passport for international flights. I'm talking about just traveling in the U.S. What happens if you get there and you don't have any ID at all? Are you out of luck? And the answer in the post-9/11 world might actually surprise you. Also, when we come back, we'll be joined by the Associate Athletic Director for the University of Wisconsin, because if you're a football fan like I am, you got to read Justin Doherty's books. He's that good. And you'll understand history, tradition, and legend, even at a school when I went here that had a totally losing football team. That's not the case anymore, of course. That music means we're out of time for this hour, but when we come back, more from Peter Greenberg Worldwide in Madison, Wisconsin, back right after these messages.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide. with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. We are too. Let me tell you where we're coming to you from. 43 degrees, 4 minutes north. 89 degrees, 24 minutes west. We're coming to you from Madison, Wisconsin, home of the University of Wisconsin, my alma mater, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @PeterSGreenberg, and on Facebook, facebook.com/PeterGreenberg. So many things to talk about on this Thanksgiving weekend, about things that we're thankful for. And every once in a while, I'm actually thankful for an airport that allows you a decent and fun layover. They still exist, believe it or not. Earlier in the show, we talked about one of my favorite airports, the General Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. Why is that my favorite airport, or one of my favorite airports for being a great layover airport? Well, because they got one of the all-time great used and rare bookstores at the airport. An independent bookstore, and they'll ship you anything anywhere in the country, and great, great things. I mean, I will literally try to plan a four-hour layover or longer in Milwaukee just so I can have fun at that bookstore.